All right, welcome in. Ooh, that sounded raspy, huh? I shouldn't have had my coffee yet. Yep, it's The Edge here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got a lot to get to today. I am very distracted, very upset. Missed out on another PlayStation 5 bundle. I know. You all care very much about my quest for a video game console. I'm sure Matt Humans is rolling over and, well, he's not in his grave, but, you know, he's not very happy about me discussing these nerdy, non-manly things on the air. So we got a lot to get to today. Rob Doster's going to be with us. He's going to talk to us, of course, about the college basketball season up to this point. We're going to expect later today. Very big slate as well. Some really good matchups, too. And a sneaky good one in my neck of the woods, the Mountain West, as Colorado State will battle Utah State in a meeting of two teams that are actually pretty good, surprisingly, especially with a team like Utah State, who I didn't think was going to be that good. And offensively, there's questions, but defensively, one of the best teams in the country. We're also going to talk with Chris Andrews, his biweekly spot with us here on Tuesday, as we discuss everything with the National Football League and a little bit more. But I wanted to start with a little bit about last night because, you know, as we do this on this show all the time, you're always trying to learn lessons, right? You're always trying to take from either losses and wins and what it means and going forward. And I thought we learned a pretty good lesson yesterday in the NBA. And I wanted to start with what was pretty much the marquee matchup. Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets get an outright win over Milwaukee as an underdog, 125 to 123. Nets, as a four-point underdog, of course, get that win with plus money. Game goes over the total, by the way, of 239. Shocking, right, with the Brooklyn Nets, the way they play offense and the lack of defense. But this is my lesson from this and what I wanted to talk about with a game like this. Kyrie Irving was questionable for this game, right? He was upgraded to questionable the day prior. He's obviously ramping up and getting ready to go for the Brooklyn Nets to potentially make his return here for Brooklyn. And yet it's ruled out, or is ruled out, I should say, by Adrian Wojnarowski's report about, like, let's say 3 or 4 hours before tip-off. But what's really fascinating about that is he's ruled out, and the number goes from Milwaukee minus 2.5 to Milwaukee minus 3.5 to as high as 4.5, like 20 minutes before the game starts, before ultimately closing at Bucks minus 4 with that total to 240. And why I think this is a lesson is multiple reasons. One, as with everything, a lot of this is really baked into the number, right? Bucks minus 2.5, like, that's a number that I think is a little bit shaded. It's obviously taking some precautions in terms of whether Kyrie Irving is going to play or not. We had the conversation yesterday that I thought full strength-wise, if these teams have been playing with one another, Nets should be about a 1.5 favorite. I'm a little bit lower on the Bucks than a lot of people. But the fact that a guy who has not played in over 2 weeks was ruled out and the number moves 2 points in the other direction in the Milwaukee Bucks is quite the overreaction. And sure enough, what happens last night, the Brooklyn Nets get the outright win. And the Milwaukee Bucks do have some questions to be asked about, you know, defensively what they're looking like. But really, it's just more about what the Brooklyn Nets are as a team. But I think it's pretty fascinating how the market just handles information, and information we generally know is kind of coming in our direction. If you had read reports and paid attention, you know, he had been upgraded to questionable Kyrie Irving, but it didn't seem like he was going to play. And they were leaning more towards later in the week. They have a series with Cleveland. I can't remember if it's a series, or they do have a game with Cleveland coming up later in the week. But it was really fascinating to watch this move all the way 2 points on the news that a guy who hadn't played in so long was indeed not going to play. So just keep that in mind as you go forward with a lot of these teams and information on the information out there. Because a lot of this is really already baked into a number. And even then, like Bucks minus 2.5, maybe a little bit of an overreaction to the Nets' first game together with Harden and KD and the fact that they didn't cover against the Orlando Magic. But the league better look out, because the other lesson to learn here is just what we expected. 120.2 points every 100 possessions for the Brooklyn Nets in this game against Milwaukee. Milwaukee team that, by the way, came into this ranked eighth in defensive efficiency, first in offensive efficiency. 63.7% in terms of effective field goal percentage. They were absolutely incredible. And in all areas of the floor, shot 48.4% from three-point range on non-heaves and non-garbage time minutes, which there weren't any in this game, right? They shot 69% at the rim. They were 50% in all mid-range shots. In terms of their play in the half court, Brooklyn averaged 1.128 points per play in the half court. That's really good. That's insanely good in the half court to be able to do that, especially with a team like Milwaukee that has the length that they do. They still have to work on their stuff in transition, but the takeaway here is that the Nets are going to be freaking good offensively, and if Kyrie Irving buys in, then watch out on that side of the ball. And the other part is just, you know, don't overreact to information that we kind of saw coming, especially when it comes to a guy who hasn't played for a really long time. So Bucks, again, lose outright 125 to 123. We move on. We'll see what the Brooklyn Nets are going to be once they get Kyrie Irving on the floor. But it is going to be fascinating to see the ceiling of this offense because I think it's insanely high. And think about it from this perspective, too, by the way, really quickly. In the first half, KD shot, what was it? Was he 4 of 12 in the first half? James Harden had 6 turnovers in the first half. He was 1 of 4 from three-point range, and yet they led by 1 against Milwaukee at the break. So I don't think Brooklyn, from a future standpoint, is worth the price that they're at right now, but they're going to be good. And I think the easy fallback is, oh, it's going to be a nightmare. I don't think it's going to be a nightmare. I think defensively they're going to have their issues, but offensively, this is going to be one of the best teams in the NBA as we move forward, especially if they get Kyrie Irving in the fold, both physically and mentally, of course, if he wants to buy into his role. And a premier role at that would be, of course, as the third wheel, but we'll talk about that when it actually happens. The other game I wanted to discuss really quickly, because again, you know, this team's kind of been on our radar here on the show. That'd be the Golden State Warriors. And there's actually not like a massive takeaway here. I don't think there's really like a really big betting lesson from this one whatsoever. This is just, this Warriors team is going to be a pain in the ass, man. Like, if they face anybody in the postseason, whether they're going to be a 6 seed, a 7 seed, or an 8 seed, if they make it, right? Because if you're in that 7-8 range, right, you're in the play-in. If they make it into the postseason, I don't care if it's the Clippers. I don't care if it's the Lakers. They came back from down 14 in the fourth quarter here against Los Angeles last night. This is a team that is gradually getting better. It's a team, obviously, that is newly put together in terms of the roster, right? Guys like Wiseman and Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins and then Steph Curry coming back and Draymond Green together. They're slowly getting a little bit better since the start of the season. But this is a team that I think, and as I have written about in Point Spread Weekly, as we've discussed in this show multiple times, a team that is a little undervalued by the market. I think they're still perceived, and that's pretty clear, right? Catch a 9, and again, down by 14, but it's basketball, and you're going to see these kind of comebacks here. But this is now a team, after failed covers in back-to-back spots against Indiana and then Denver, getting a big win in a cover like this. It just shows how much this Warriors team, I think, is improving on a night-to-night basis, and how maybe the market needs to catch up a little bit to how good this Warriors team can potentially be. So we'll see. They actually... It's up and down in terms of their test, right? We talked about their test last week. They had a 3-game road trip, Denver, Phoenix, Los Angeles. The Phoenix game gets postponed. You lose in Denver 114 to 104. You get a comeback win over the Lakers. But I would look out for this team in a best-of-7 series, especially if you're getting like a weakish 3 seed, if they're going to indeed take that 6th overall seed in the Western Conference. So with that, I also threw that in there because I didn't know that Nick wasn't going to be here, and Nick's a really big Lakers fan, and I wanted to laugh at it one more time as the Lakers blew a lead. And as a guy who maybe supports the Clippers on a time to time, I did enjoy watching that. So let's talk about our conference championship games, the National Football League, and you know we'll have updates on the numbers and the change in thought process for me as we move forward with a couple of these. So let's update the lines first. Tampa Bay and Green Bay, the first one up here. As we see across the board, Green Bay 3 -120, 3.5, but even money if you want to lay it in terms of the 3.5. This has been a pretty interesting number because there's been a couple of spots that went to like for the South Point here, for example, 3, and because they don't alter the vig at all. So they went down to 3 -110. All reports are that Chris got hit on a couple of spots. We'll ask Chris when he joins us in a couple of minutes what he did and what happened when he moved down to 3 and what he was looking at in terms of action. And Chris has been, you know, open with us and talked about that too. He'll test the market a lot in terms of moving off of a number and see what happens. So he got some good response and got some money there on the Packers at -3. So this is a game. I have the Bucks +4. And I bet this on Sunday when the numbers opened up. I missed out on 4.5. Oh, quick. Hey, Nick's here. Let's restart the Lakers conversation really quickly. As the Lakers, of course, blew that. Was it a 19-point lead at one point? Yeah, 19-point lead at one point. 14, though, in the fourth quarter. So not that bad. 14 in the fourth quarter. but I digress. So I have Tampa Bay +4 here. And I do like this defense for the most part for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right, I've brought up the fact that, you know, I think sometimes against some quick passing attacks, right, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been had, right? We can go to the Monday night game against Jared Goff and the Los Angeles Rams. We can go to the New York Giants game, which they won but failed to cover. We can go to the first half of the Kansas City game in which they were blitzing and going one-on-one outside. And, of course, they were just getting torched by Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. However, I was really impressed and quite shocking, right? Really impressed with the fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually like made a valid adjustment, and a good one at that, in terms of how they were handling Drew Brees, which was just playing across the board and just keeping everything in front of them, not giving up anything big overall, and just saying, if you're going to beat us, or excuse me, anything short, and if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us downfield, and it just wrecked Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. And Todd Bowles has done a really good job with this team and the ability to kind of adjust and move forward. So now you get Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, as we've talked about before, right, going into the matchup with the Los Angeles Rams, and it actually played out a little bit. Doesn't take a lot of deep shots downfield. The average depth of target is actually in the sevens for Aaron Rodgers. They're a team that leads the league or near the top of the league in terms of yards after catch. It's a Bucs team that gives up some yards after catch. But again, that's more of a Bucs team that, remember, we talked about in the first half of the year. They were blitzing a lot, well over 40% of the time, and leaving their guys one-on-one. You've seen this adjustment down the stretch. The Bucs aren't going to do that. And then you go back to Aaron Rodgers' actual performance there against the Los Angeles Rams, two dropped interceptions. There was actually a relatively bad throw to Davante Adams that could have been actually a bigger play and potentially a touchdown that he missed out on. The fact that the Green Bay Packers overall have shown an issue with consistency, the biggest example of that being the Indianapolis Colts game in the second half where they're held to 3 points and they end up losing that game to Indianapolis despite a big lead at halftime. And that's the thing that kind of worries me here with the Green Bay Packers. Because look, the Rams still ran for 90 yards. You see it there, Akers 90 yards, 5 yards per pop at a touchdown, right? They had success there. We talked about this to George Shihori yesterday, and the fact that Bruce Arians kind of runs his head into the wall with trying to establish a run could potentially work in his favor given the weakness that this front seven has, right, against relatively strong running games, and that backfield is relatively healthy now in Tampa Bay too. So sitting at +4, I feel relatively good about my position here. I do wonder, though, if I'm wrong about the Green Bay Packers in their offense and their ability to consistently put performances together. Because the one thing that they did that I was wrong about against Los Angeles and that the Los Angeles Rams do so very well was to limit big plays, right? We talked about that all the time. We talked about the fact that they were first in air yards by 200 yards in the regular season, right, defensively. First in average depth of target, like all these things that the Rams did that shows you that they weren't a big play defense. They didn't give any big plays, and yet they gave us some pretty big runs and relatively big plays downfield. And you wonder if that's going to be maybe something that I'm wrong about and that the Packers offensively have improved and the fact that they have maybe shown a little bit more consistency down the stretch that I am blind to, because I'm obviously willing to be wrong in that. But I do like the way that this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense has been playing and sitting at 4 and a number that's sitting about 3. And we'll see. I think that's the other interesting part here, too. The market support for the Tampa Bay Bucs, and if this number, yet again, on a road playoff game for them, is going to dip below that 3. Still sitting at 3.5 here with a total of 51 at the South Point. Now, the other here that's pretty fascinating, of course, the AFC Championship game, Buffalo and Kansas City, with some 2.5s popping up here for the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs now 3-point favorite at the South Point with a total of 53.5. Some in the market, right, are sitting at 2.5 minus 120, one of those shops being the Westgate, of course. When you look at what Patrick Mahomes' status is, too, and I think that's kind of a bet, right? Like, this is what I talked about this yesterday. Can't remember who I was talking to. But you're kind of gambling either way, right? We talked about this on Opening Lines with Humans. Wes and I threw this around yesterday and on Sunday. All of us kind of thought this was going to be about a 4.5-point spread if Patrick Mahomes was healthy. Remember when they played on the road, the Chiefs closed as a 5.5-point favorite and won that, you know, in relative comfortable control early in the season. It was in October. This Bills team's better than they were. So you can understand an improvement of the power rating. But the fact that the market is now underneath that 3, is that a push here or some rumblings that one Patrick Mahomes potentially won't be ready? But you're gambling, right? You're gambling either way, and yes, you're like gambling overall. But if you're sitting here and you're betting the Buffalo Bills, I think you're gambling that Patrick Mahomes is not going to play. Because if you are, we know about the massive swing, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills go off as like a 1.5-point favorite if Patrick Mahomes is ruled out. But if he is ruled in, as we kind of open the show, as we kind of go full circle on things like this, we've seen the market overreact or react to certain things. If you read between the lines, it sounds like Mahomes is going to be ready. But once he's officially announced, this is probably going to go to 3.5. It potentially gets to that 4 number that we were expecting on Sunday and on Monday. And so if you're betting the Bills now, right, again, to go to the word gambling, you're kind of gambling because if he's ruled in, you're sitting on 3 at a number, could potentially sitting at 4 by the time we get to kickoff. So what's going to happen with Patrick Mahomes' status is obviously the key to a game like this and with this number. But I do think this is relatively fascinating that now at the Westgate, my screen actually, can we update that? Because my screen actually shows 2.5 with the South Point now for Kansas City. So we'll talk to Chris about that too and see what he's seeing from an action standpoint, because that actually might be the case. But regardless, as 2.5 start to appear, you wonder where this is now going to go. Because if Mahomes again is ruled in, this is going to be a really fascinating watch. And of course, the total too, right? The total sitting at 53.5. Opened 51.5, got to as high as 54. It settled back at 53.5. You can expect, I would think, that if this starts to move in the direction of Mahomes not playing, that total is going to drop here a little bit, maybe in the range of back to that opening number of 51.5, somewhere like that. But what the market's going to do here is fascinating, because I don't think, I'm pretty surprised, I'll put it that way, that we're down to 2.5 at a majority of shops at this point right now. And there it is here at the South Point Hotel and Casino, 2.5 with a total of 53.5. All right, Chris will have answers on that when we have him up in about, 20 minutes or so. On the other side, because we have, we're not going to do all NFL today, but we're going to do a little bit. Westgate released odds to win the 2022. I have a lot of issues with the 20s. The 2022 Super Bowl, so a year from now. And I will tell you this. There is one team right now that it's sitting at 100-1, and I'm going to take the shot, baby, because I feel like, given the schedule that they're going to face, given the roster that they have, relatively decent roster, especially offensively, you could see some upward momentum for this team sitting at 100-1 to win next year's Super Bowl. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get a $250 match bonus, fastest payouts, and only a one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Rush Pay, not valid in Iowa. You got to be 21, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Before we get to our planned programming, should note that one Kyrie Irving did speak with the media. He's currently speaking with the media right now on, Zoom or whatever it is. By the way, stocks and Zoom, huh? What did Zoom think right before all this happened? Nuts. Anyway, he is potentially going to play against the Cleveland Cavaliers a little bit later this week. That is, of course, expected. We don't know what's going to happen, though, because expect the unexpected when it comes to Kyrie Irving and the Nets this year. Did address a couple of the things, said that some personal issues potentially got in the way. From Malik Andrews, quote, there's been a lot of family and personal stuff going on the last 2 weeks. Also said that he has had a conversation with each and every one of his teammates and that they will move on. So a lot of personal things going on with Kyrie in terms of, celebrating birthday parties and whatnot out of the open. But regardless, Kyrie potentially back here at the Brooklyn Net experiment rolls on. We'll see what they do against Cleveland, his old team, of course, the one that brought him into this league. So, NFL futures and next year. Pretty big deal to look at, and there's a lot to analyze, right, when it comes to, futures for the next season. And we always talk about this, right? Is it worth investing in a team like, the Kansas City Chiefs at single digits to win a championship? Are you going to be holding on to this for a whole calendar year? And it's usually not. I'm really interested, though, in one team as we look at odds to win next year's Super Bowl via the Westgate Superbook. They're sitting at about 100-1, and that would be the Houston Texans. I do think that there's something to look at here with the Houston Texans when it comes to the big picture, when it comes to looking at them to potentially win, of course, next year's Super Bowl. And this is more about like a value play, potentially, right, at 100-1 for the Houston Texans, as opposed to, I guess, legitimately thinking they could win. But hear me out on something like this, right? Because their opponents, they're going to get an easier schedule, right, given the finish this year. And remember, it's a 17-game schedule next year, so that plays into this as well. So you're talking about opponents at home, the New England Patriots, the New York Jets, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Los Angeles Rams, the Seattle Seahawks, the Indianapolis Colts, and Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, your divisional rounds, right? your road opponents, this is where it gets a little bit tougher, right? You get the Bills, the Dolphins, the Browns, the 49ers, but then you get your three divisional opponents and the Arizona Cardinals. This is a team that's going to have an easier schedule in front of them. Now, you're banking on Deshaun Watson sticking around because that's part of the little bit of a gamble here, right? I think Deshaun Watson's probably going to. It does seem like they're moving in the direction of hiring one Eric Bieniemy to be their head coach, which is going to be, I think, a very large step in towards keeping Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, though, was the second highest graded quarterback in the National Football League this year, according to PFF, behind Aaron Rodgers, right? There's this like weird narrative around Watson about like, you know, him struggling without DeAndre Hopkins. Like, get that out of here, okay? He was fantastic this year. Now, their defense is a really big issue. And they don't have a lot of mobility in terms of the draft, obviously, because, you know, they've given up a lot. So you're really banking on Bieniemy coming in, if that's the case, developing and cultivating a system and getting an offense in there that is going to really maximize everything that they have, including the second best quarterback in the National Football League by one outlet standards, right? And then in free agency, if you have the room to maneuver and start to cut dead weight, a la maybe a J.J. Watt or something like that, and add some decent pieces. Because, again, we've talked about this before, right? The fact that in the National Football League, the game is changing. And you just need a defense that will bend and not break in a red zone. You need a really good red zone defense and an offense that can get you up and down the field. But we're talking about, again, in the range of like 100-1, when you play in a division like the AFC South, that is really not great, right? The Colts had a very easy schedule. They ended up winning 11 games and getting to the playoffs. Cool. The Tennessee Titans, we discussed, one of the worst defenses in the National Football League, and some potential, just, again, floating around like a 9-win team, right, every single year. And then you have the Houston Texans who are going to have a schedule, have that quarterback, have an offense. I'm going to venture a guess, and we'll play this back when they get to like 200-1. I'm going to venture to guess that, excuse me, that they're not going to be 100-1 by the time we get into the midst of the season. And I'm going to also say that with the schedule that they have, especially some winnable home games, that is going to be a team that's pushing for 9 wins and potentially either making it to the postseason or even winning the AFC South, which would not be shocking if 9 wins wins that division yet again next year. Although, yes, 11 won it this year. So just a little bit of gamble, one that stuck out to me and one worth tracking throughout the next year or so. All right, when we come back, let's get to a little bit more in terms of the National Football League. We have a lot more to get to as well when it comes to some Super Bowl matchups and much more. It's The Edge here on VSiN. If you're betting $22 hoping that meaningless free throw rims out or begging for 2 goals in extra time, well, you should probably get better numbers. But you can invest that $22 in your sports betting success. Become a VSiN All Access member today. Get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for less than $22 a month. Daily email, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly, betting 101 strategies. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Place a bet on yourself right now. Start your free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, I'm fully focused and ready to go for this show, although I did mess up a little bit. So I wanted to reset this table because I should probably note to you who are listening on iHeartRadio, which you know you should be because guess what? You can do it for free. iHeartRadio, just download the app, and bam, right there, VSiN. The favorite to win next year's Super Bowl, according to the Westgate Superbook, shockingly enough, is the Kansas City Chiefs at 6-1. Now, there's a lot of interesting numbers up here on this board, right? It's not surprising to see the usual suspects at the top. The Chiefs, the Packers, the Bills, the Ravens, three of which are among the final four that we're seeing here. The Bucs are at 12-1, as are the Saints. So there's a couple of things that are pretty intriguing, right? One, take, for example, the New Orleans Saints at 12-1. Again, you know, we can have the conversation about investing in numbers like this, you know, for an entire year. But why especially would you invest in a team like the New Orleans Saints, where all indications are that Drew Brees is not going to be there? And that it's either going to be Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. It should be Jameis. And then, once that's announced, the Saints aren't going to be 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. I love their defense. There are some cap issues with the New Orleans Saints that potentially you could see some changes defensively. But regardless, as much as I like this defense, as much as I love Jameis Winston, if he is going to be the guy, that's not going to be a Saints team that's listed at 12-1 to win the Super Bowl next year. So, that, for example, not really worth it. Can we all laugh at the Dallas Cowboys sitting at 20-1? Because again, right, it's the Dallas Cowboys and they have, like, you know, they're always going to get support. They're a relatively public team just because of the support, you know, for the logo, the brand. But if you watch that train wreck that was the Cowboys this year, and I'm talking pre-Dak Prescott injury, like, I think we clearly know that they're at least not a team that should be in the range of about 20-1, right? On the same level as a Dolphins team or a Rams team that have relatively high ceilings, especially defensively for the Los Angeles Rams. I think there is, you know, going to be some regression for the Dolphins up next year, right? Took advantage of a nice schedule. Remember at one point they had taken on for three consecutive weeks, the 32nd, 31st, and 30th ranked offenses in the National Football League. At one point before they took on the Buffalo Bills, their defense, despite the fact that it was a top 11 defense in terms of overall defensive efficiency, they had only taken on two teams that were above 18th in defensive efficiency. So they took advantage of a schedule. But next year's schedule is going to be a little bit tougher. Another full season of Tua Tagovailoa, if that's indeed the case. Unless, of course, they ship off for my boy, Deshaun Watson, in which case the Dolphins' ceiling is insanely high. And then if you know that, 20-1, bam, go get it. But those are some of the numbers that kind of stuck out overall. And I think there's some other interesting teams in terms of what they could potentially be next year, right? You know, I find myself thinking that the development of one Baker Mayfield is legitimate, that we've seen over these last six, seven, eight games from him. I thought he was absolutely fantastic, other than the pick that he threw against the Kansas City Chiefs. And so maybe there is some more upward mobility for a Browns team that if you look around the division, sure, Joe Burrow is good, but he's coming off of a torn ACL. The Steelers are probably taking a step back after an 11-0 start to the year this year, and they ended up finishing, 12-4 and, 1-5 in their last six games, including the postseason. But a Browns team that could potentially get off to a good start next year and have those odds shrink. So there's a couple of numbers that kind of stick out with this. Overall, the triple digits over on the Texans really stuck out. And investing on teams, just be wary of investing on teams like the Saints, who I'm sure you'll be able to get about 20-25-1 once the quarterback news is official and once you see that Drew Brees is not going to be there, especially if it's Taysom Hill. Good God, if it's Taysom Hill. I'm out. Did you watch the dime that Jameis Winston threw? Did you see the touchdown? Absolute dime. Like he had holes in his pockets. Just dropped it. I won't go down that path. I really like Jameis Winston. I got a lot of guff for my love for Jameis Winston. John Murray loves Jameis Winston. My buddy Adam Hill, who has been on this show multiple times. I digress. All right, let's talk about some exact Super Bowl matchups. Now, I will warn, and a lot of you who listen, and you're all very smart bettors, and you're all a lot smarter than I am. When you look at bets like this, these are via BetRivers, Super Bowl exact outcome, right? So, not surprising, the two teams that are favored, right, are the top choice, and then the team that would be favored in that matchup is the top choice, Chiefs beating the Packers at +325. Theoretically, you can take the Chiefs to beat the Packers at +325, right? And the exact outcome of the Super Bowl, should both favorites move on, you're sitting at Chiefs +325 money line. Like, I think people will kind of talk themselves into things like this. But again, this is not going to be the sexiest case to make here. These index props are thrown up for a reason, to generate some action, to get recreational bettors to buy in. There's generally no real value in, like, looking at props like this and, like, investing in them and betting them and whatnot, right? So, for example, like if you think like the Buccaneers beating the Bills is going to be something that is going to happen at 9-1, I mean, theoretically, you parlay the Bucs, you parlay the Bills, and then you roll that over into a Buccaneers money line play over the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl, which the Buccaneers would be an underdog there as well. So there's different ways to go about that, right? And so when you look at all of these, it might look pretty attractive if you handicap it in such a way that the Packers are going to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. More often than not, if you look at the implied probability and rolling parlays as opposed to betting into index props like this, you're going to get more bang for your buck approaching it in different ways than doing this. But let's have some fun, right? You want to get the Bills to beat the Buccaneers at 9-1. Also pretty interesting, too, by the way, because if we look at that matchup, and I can't wait to talk to Chris Andrews, that those odds are identical, right, in terms of the Bills beating the Bucs or the Bucs beating the Bills. Who would be favored in that matchup is a really fascinating conversation, and that I would think is almost near a pick, but those are two teams that the market absolutely loves, right? You're talking about the Buffalo Bills now driving that number against Kansas City Chiefs this week underneath three, and the Buccaneers, who last week had a line that was driven underneath that three against the New Orleans Saints, and who are getting bet again this week against the Green Bay Packers. So a Bills-Bucks matchup, who ultimately is favored in that? I would assume that we're talking pretty much a pick, or maybe even like slightly shaded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they have the better defense. Let's ask Chris Andrews when we come back. I'm going to say Bucks -1.5 in a potential Super Bowl over the Buffalo Bills. And if that's the case, man, there's some value in Bucks beating the Bills at 9-1, your exact Super Bowl outcome. But there you go. Chiefs beat the Packers, +325. Packers beat the Chiefs at +450. Bills beat the Packers at +525. Chiefs beat the Buccaneers at +575, as is the Packers over the Bills. Bucks beating the Chiefs at 825, and then you get that 9-1 pair. Bills over Bucks, and then Bucks over Bills. So we'll talk to Chris Andrews about that. We'll ask where this action is, and just the power of information in the sports betting market, because as we talked about to open the show, the power of the information in the NBA, or lack thereof, or just overreaction to it, what we're seeing in terms of the action for this Chiefs game, which again, now the Kansas City Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite, the market's love for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and what we can expect. And again, I saw this a lot yesterday, and we'll reiterate it time and again so that you guys know this. There's been a lot of, oh my God, snow in the forecast. It doesn't matter. If it's wind, then it matters. But snow generally doesn't really mean that much. We have plenty of examples, but we'll talk about that in a little bit more with Chris Andrews when he joins us next here on The Edge. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Tell you what, if the audio work doesn't improve around here, we might be looking on Indeed for a replacement for Nick. Indeed immediately delivers quality candidates from our resume database. When you upgrade your job post, get started at Indeed.com/credit. I totally have the power to fire people. 100%. Chris Andrews is with us. What's up, Chris? How you doing, buddy?
I don't want to get on that list, JVT. I don't want you firing me. It's kind of a nice gig I got going here, man.
I would actually love to attempt to get that done just to be laughed at as much. Like, who are you? Who do you think you are? But regardless, that would never happen. So there's a lot to go over with you. And yes, there's only two games in the NFL. But, you know, we were having this conversation at the beginning of the show, Chris, like the power of information. And I'm going to set this up. I think it's going to make sense. So, and I'm going to use the NBA as an example as we lead into the NFL. But last night, right, Kyrie Irving is ruled out. And so the Bucks go from a 2.5-point favorite to a 4.5-point favorite at one point. I think you guys close 4 on the news that a guy who hadn't played in 2 weeks was not going to play, right? So the market kind of overreacts, and the yeah. Nets end up winning outright. And so I bring up that example because we're watching this Chiefs line slowly but surely shrink down. You guys were at 2.5 at last look on the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think the market, looks like, is betting this in the hopes, I would assume, that Patrick Mahomes is not going to play, because when it comes to the information, again, kind of bring this back full circle, I would assume, Chris, that once Patrick Mahomes is officially announced that he is ready to go and it looks like it's leading in that direction, we're talking about like 3, 3.5, potentially 4. Am I wrong about that?
I don't like the 4, but I do think you have a good chance of seeing 3.5 if that is what happens. But, Neil, I've been following it, well, obviously as close as I can. The best report that I get is that they might not be able to make an actual decision until, like, Saturday or Sunday. I said it, I think, last week on your show. I never believe what these coaches say. You know, just can't trust them. But that is what I'm hearing. But I don't think you'd see a 4 in this game. I think a lot of people have a lot of questions about the Chiefs covering numbers, as well they should. And that's why I don't think you would ever see over the 3.5. And even the 3.5, I think, would be a little bit of a stretch. But you might see that. You know, they do overreact to news in this marketplace.
So when you when we're looking at this game overall, and let's say Patrick Mahomes is indeed ruled in. Actually, no, let me start here. I'm sorry. I'm going all over the place. What's the action been like for you here? Are you taking bets? Are you just moving, like, with the market on some of the news? Like, are some respected bettors actually coming in and driving this underneath that 3?
JVT, I was just looking. I was doing a little – believe me or not, I actually do a little prep work before going on your show. I was looking at this, and I'm thinking, I think we're going to set a record this week for a handle on 2 games. And mostly because we are revolved around the 3. Now, you know the way we do things here at the South Point. Everything is 11 to 10. If you're going to move money, if you're going to move based on somebody else's action, you are asking for trouble, my friend. So no, we have so much action on both these games, and that has moved us on and off these threes, in both games. And like I said, they're calling me. I'm trying to take the day off. I was going to take my dog to the park, et cetera. And they're calling me like every 15 minutes with a big bet on one side or the other. And so every time you see a move off of these numbers, it's because of some substantial money moving us.
So, and I would assume we had this conversation about money lines last week. It does seem relatively cheap. Chiefs minus 145, Bills plus 125. You get a lot of Bills, the money line action too?
Yeah, we do. And again, from very sharp players, which I gave it a pretty dramatic move. The guy who came in and bet us, definitely one of our sharper guys. I had to respect that. That's when the first move came in, when they took the Bills. So I took the Bills plus the 3 and went to 2.5. Another sharp bettor came in, laid the 2.5 for big money, went back to 3. And at that point, I was surprised because when the one guy bet me the money line, I thought this number was going to wind up like 1.5 or 2. Mm-hmm. Now I don't see that. And then if Mahomes is declared in, I really don't see it. But like I said, there's a lot of guys with, including me, that have a lot of, let's say, question marks on the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They've been playing with fire for like 2 months. And, I'm not sure you want to play with fire when it comes to this Bills team. They're pretty good. And right now, like I said, I respect money on both sides because they're both big. But a little bit more personally on the Bills.
We get to Friday. Well, we get to Saturday, Chris, and Patrick Mahomes is ruled out. The Bills close what?
Yeah. I'd say probably like 1, maybe 2, something like that. But again, a word of warning, and I did this for Matt Eumanns earlier in the year when we were talking about replacement quarterbacks. Not that I think Henny's that great, but a couple things you need to consider. He has a great squad around him as far as, players that could make a big, big difference. He's been around a long time. But the other half of the equation is look what Andy Reid has done with replacement quarterbacks back, in the day. He had, Jay Feely looking like an all-pro. Jeff Garcia, who actually was a pretty good quarterback, came in and played some McNabb. He had Ty Detmer come in and play really well. So if he has a week to work with Chad Henne, a pretty solid veteran. He's been around for like, I want to say like 14 years. That team will be okay. And I think at that point, that might be an overreaction to the market, by the market.
Chris, to your point, last year, Patrick Mahomes dislocated his kneecap. The Chiefs went 2-1 in games with Matt Moore at quarterback. Matt Moore threw 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, completed 65% of his passes for a passer rating of 102. Like, this is not the worst situation for the Kansas City Chiefs if they get time to prep Henne and everything going forward, which you would think that they're going to do this week, right? Considering that Mahomes, he's going to be a late addition to the in terms of being cleared. I would think that you're going to spend all week getting Henne ready.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, this is not the first time this situation has faced Andy Reid. He's come through with flying colors. I can't think of a time where he's really blown it with a backup quarterback. The Matt Moore, I actually forgot about that. Yeah, he came in last year. And, Henny's, I'm sure, taking all the snaps with the first team. And, probably 90% of the snaps with the first team this week. Mahomes doesn't need that much work, but Henne will, and I'm sure he'll get it. And like I said, the skill position players that he has to work with, he's going to be fine. I think if that's what they said, listen, you're going to miss Mahomes. I mean, obviously that's the big miss. It will not be a disaster for the Chiefs, I do not believe.
All right, let's go to the NFC Championship game, Tampa Bay and Green Bay. I think I saw something up on Twitter. I don't remember who reported it. Did you go to 3 earlier today to test the market? You're at 3 now?
I'm at 3 right now with money, and I'm looking. I'm like way high on the Bucks, and again, sharp money has taken the 3.5. Well, I opened at 4 because I really do kind of like the Packers in this game. So it was 3.5 and 4. I opened 4. They took the 4 pretty quick. But again, they've taken the 3.5. I did have a guy, one of my sharper players, did come in and lay the 3 just recently, probably about 20 minutes ago. But I held the 3 for now just because, You know, in these kind of games, you really, if you can hold the whole number, that's the better move. I can't always do that, but I try to do it. So we'll see where it goes from here. I have a feeling we'll be back to 3.5. Matter of fact, I thought we might even get to 4 again at some point. That, okay. But, you know, again, I'm just speculating.
Well, and that was going to, you answered the second part of my question, because the Bucks are coming off of a game in which they got so much support, they drove that number for some shops underneath 3. And the market really likes this Bucks team, Chris. Like, you and I have talked about this. It seems like every single week the market is coming in on Tampa Bay and either driving a number down or driving a number up if they're favored.
Well, you know, JVT, before this New Orleans game, when was the last good team they beat? I mean, they've been awfully lucky, I think, with their scheduling. And this game, this last game, they won by 10, and, you know, obviously covered the number fairly easily. But that was a dogfight. And you look, Drew Brees throws 3 interceptions, and then they had another fumble by, I can't remember.
Gary Cook, yep.
I mean, 4 turnovers. You know, I mean, and they won. They did what they're supposed to do. But, you know, I think they're going into a very, very difficult situation. I think Aaron Rodgers is just playing fantastic football. You know, I like Bruce Arians an awful lot. And, you know, I know you're a big Drew Luck fan, as am I. And I think Arians helped him a lot. I think he certainly helped Ben Roethlisberger quite a bit. I'm not sure Brady needed much help, you know, but he certainly knew how to push all those buttons. But, you know, I think Rodgers and LaFleur, that seems to be a marriage made in heaven. These guys are playing great football. And I think the Packers are the right side here.
So we were talking about this in the last segment, Chris, before we get you out of here. From like a pecking order power rating standpoint, as we look at the Final Four, Chiefs will be favored, you know, if Patrick Mahomes is playing, Chiefs will be favored in both matchups, I would assume, either at the Green Bay Packers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you can correct me on that. Maybe I'm wrong. I was curious more of the Bills and a Bucks matchup somewhere in that range. I would assume that's close to pick. I'm going to go with Bucks minus like 1.5. Am I wrong on that?
Well, no, I have the 4 possibilities up right now, and I'm using Pick'em on the Bills and the Bucks.
Okay.
Let me see this, Chief. Yeah, Chiefs, Packers. I saw a couple guys were using like 2.5 on the Chiefs over the Packers, but I'm only using 1.5. And like I said, I just think this Chiefs team, listen, JVT, they only got to win 2 more games to repeat as Super Bowl champions. That's not that much of a reach, you know, but like I've been saying before, I mean, they're playing with fire. They're winning a bunch of one possession games, and, you know, personally, I think it comes up and bites you in the ass sooner or later. And it will. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, but it will bite them eventually. But I think, you know, I have been pretty close to even between the Packers and the Chiefs. And I'm using 1.5 just because I see a 2.5 out there. But if I were in a vacuum, I'd probably open it Pick.
Yep, and very few people. There are some, but very few people enjoy getting bitten on the ass. Chris Andrews at Andrews Sport up on Twitter. Hey, Chris, always good to talk to you, buddy.
Are you one of those, Jamie?
I don't know. We're out of time. We're out of time. Thanks, bud.
See you later, my man.
Editor Sports up on Twitter. All right, we'll come back. Rob Doster is going to be with us. We're going to talk a little bit about college hoops, get his perspective on some big matchups today. And, of course, we'll have a little bit on the NBA. Not a lot, only 2 games today added to play to the futures board, which we should discuss. And we have a UFC card coming up this weekend, a good one. Actually, we got one tomorrow, too. There's a lot to get to in the next 55 minutes.